After breakfast, I telephoned the care home. The others told me I could call once a day, whatever the expense, otherwise I wouldn't relax properly. And the telephone call changed everything. Just those 2 or 3 minutes. More happened to me in my head during the telephone call than during all that time up on the roof. It wasn't as if there was any bad news. Matty was fine. There wasn't much else they could tell me, was there? I tried to make the conversation last, and the nurse tried to help me, God love him. But neither of us could think of anything to say. I thanked him and put the phone down and tried not to feel sorry for myself. Love and concern, the things that only a mother can provide. For the first time, I could finally see that those things were no use to him. When I died, Matty would be fine. I didn't know whether I wanted to kill myself more or less knowing that. I didn't know whether my whole life had been a waste of time or not. I went downstairs and saw Jess in the lobby. "Martin's checked out of the hotel," she said. I smiled politely and kept walking. I didn't care. If I hadn't made the phone call, I would have cared, because he was in charge of our money. But if he'd gone off with the money, it wouldn't matter much. I'd stay there, or not, and I'd eat, or not, and I'd drink, or not, and go home, or not, and what I did or didn't do wouldn't matter to anyone at all. For the rest of the week, I tried to keep out of everybody's way. Martin was gone, and JJ didn't seem to mind. Jess didn't like it much, and once or twice she tried to make me eat with her or sit on the beach. But I just smiled and said, "No, thank you." I borrowed a book from the bookcase in reception, a silly one about a single girl whose cat turns into a handsome young fella, and the young fella wants to marry her, but she's not sure because he's a cat. And sometimes I read that, and sometimes I slept. I've always been fine on my own.
In some ways it was a mistake, checking out of the hotel and going off on my own. I moved into a room that was identical to the one I'd been staying in, except I treated myself to a sea view and a balcony. And I sat on the balcony for 2 days, staring at the sea view and being introspective. The conclusions I drew on the first day were that I'd made a pig's ear of everything, and that I'd be better off dead, and if I died, no one would miss me. And then I got drunk. The second day, I realized that most of my woes were someone else's fault. I was estranged from my children because of Cindy, and Cindy was also responsible for the end of my marriage. I was imprisoned because society's attitudes to teenage sexuality are outmoded. I lost my job because of the hypocrisy and disloyalty of my bosses. So at the end of the second day, I wanted to kill people rather than kill myself, and that's got to be healthier, surely. Jess found me on the third day. I was sitting in a cafe reading a 2-day-old Daily Express and drinking café con leche. She sat down.
"What's all this about, then?"
"All what?"
"This big sulk."
"I'm sick to death of you."
"Because of the other night?"
"Yes."
"You just didn't like me saying you were my dad, did you?"
"You think I moved out of a hotel because you said I was your father?"
"I would."
This is what happens with Jess. When she thinks you're withdrawing, she pretends to be thoughtful. I wasn't going to be taken in.
"Get lost." "What have I done now?"
"Jess, I want a holiday. Most of all, I want a holiday from you."
"So you want me to get pissed up and take drugs?"
"Yes, I want that very much."
"Yeah, right, and if I do, I'll get a bollocking."
"Oh, for Christ's sake." I left some money on the table, got up, and walked out. Jess followed me.
"What about what my dad said about looking after me? I'd have thought you'd want to. I could replace the daughters you've lost. And that way you could find inner peace, see? There are loads of films like that."
We passed a ghastly-looking cafe called New York City.
"That's where I got thrown out for fighting," said Jess proudly. "They'll kill me if I try to go in again."
A grizzled-looking owner was standing in the doorway with a murderous look on his face. "I need a pee." I walked into New York City, found a lavatory, sat down, and bolted the door. For the next hour, I could hear her yelling at me through the wall, but eventually the yelling stopped. I presumed she'd gone, but I stayed, just in case. It was 11 in the morning when I bolted the door, and 3 in the afternoon when I came out. I didn't resent the time. It was that sort of holiday.